from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here on Sports Daily, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday for us. We're making it a thing. Join the movement with us if you'd like. Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester today. If you missed anything from the first hour, you can always go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app in podcast form. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, watching all the different ways that you can, 12 News Connected. We appreciate that audience as well. It is fun to grow the show, and boy, I'll tell you, Paul, we are so dadgum close to the start of when things really get fun. Next week, we've got all our insiders coming in for the first time. We've got games at the end of next week in college, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be the NFL, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be high school sports. We are right there, and I'm so excited for it. Fantasy football season, the drafts are starting. If you ever have any questions about that, I know Tommy and I are junkies in that world. We're glad to talk through some things with you. But it's all there for you. The IHOP hotline is open as well this hour, 869-1240. It is brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Let's set up a giveaway here as we kick things off in hour number two. We're going to give away a little HTO for you here.
Beautiful, yeah.
More than 20 flavors of iced tea. And we're going to have HTO's got some fall offerings coming soon, so stay tuned for that. We'll get you more details. But if you want to win a free iced tea and a free coffee, featuring free-reign coffee, iced hot, however you like it, you can do that by entering the contest. Text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. Each participant can enter once per day. These are good for Wichita West, Wichita East, and in Derby. Message and data rates apply. That's T to short code 20357. Good luck, everybody.
Good job.
All right, Paul, let's start with this. I have not paid as much attention to it. I know it has been in the headlines a lot. This Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
Brian Flores story. Now we knew this existed, and then Tua sort of basically talked more about it. It was weird in year one for Tua with Brian Flores there. We all wondered why they weren't playing him. Now we learn, Flores was not we'll call it not nice, but I don't want to say that in a negative light. Like somebody, oh, he's not nice. He was not constructive, let's call it, with Tua. Tua comes out and talks about that. Mike McDaniel has taken a very different approach with Tua, and I don't think that there is any doubt McDaniel has gotten more out of that specific player, right? Tua has been a much better player under McDaniel. He connects with that coach better. And then yesterday, Flores comes out and pretty much says he's learned a lot from it. You know, like, so he didn't get all defensive, at least from what I've seen. He just said, you know, we learn and we grow. And you got to remember that Flores' situation was weird. He had a lawsuit against the team. They were trying to tell him to lose games. Like, all that weird stuff was happening at that same time. What do you make, as somebody who's coached, as somebody who has coached multiple generations of players and personalities, what do you make of this story, Paul?
Well, this is really interesting. I don't know that I've ever quite seen anything quite like this. I mean, particularly out in the open, the way this is. And Mike McDaniels is, I think, kind of cool. I mean, I know.
Yeah, I do too. Whether he wins enough. Basically, Paul, he's won at the exact same clip Flores did.
Yeah,
if you want to look at that too. By the way,
yes,
that's they've won almost the exact same amount of games in that amount of time.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because there was a day when the way Coach Flores approached his players, that was the standard mode of operation. That was how people did it. That's how coaches coached. That's how teams treated their players. There was a certain amount of, you know, you break them down before you build them up. You got to get them broke down so that they understand what they're doing is what you want done, not what they want to do, maybe not the way they want to play. And to a certain extent, that was a philosophy for a generation of football players. That's the way they played football. And I think probably to a lesser extent, other sports as well. I mean, we all know that there's guys like Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight was a tough person in practice, by the way. He was one of those guys that was not afraid to break you down, tell you what you needed to hear in a horrible way, and then you know, pat you on the butt. I was like that early, you know, 35 years ago when I first started coaching. I may have been a little bit like that, but that's the way everybody was. But I had a coach probably the first 2 to 3 years when I was coaching. One time he says, you know something, coach, you're doing a great job. You're on those kids. You're coaching every snap. You coach somebody. You're doing really good. There's one thing, though, that I would do if I was you. There's a couple of kids, and there's always those kids that can't seem to do anything right, can't seem to do anything the way you need to have it done in order to be successful as a football team or as a defense. In my case, as a defense, not an offense, but as a defense, you got to get those kids broke down and ready to play. And sometimes you got to stay on them. Sometimes play after play, you've got to break down what that kid is doing, and you coach him between snaps. Every repetition is important, and every coaching moment is important. You coach those kids every snap. And sometimes it gets negative. And I had an old coach come to me, Jacob, and he said, Coach Savage, what you need to do is stay on those kids. That's what they got to do. You got to do that. That's the way this works. You got to stay on those kids. But those kids that you are staying on, that you're hard on for an entire practice, by the time we walk off the field, you find something that they've done, even if you have to make it up or it's small. You find something that kid does, and you walk over there and pat them on the butt and say, attaboy, that's what we're wanting. Good job. That's what I want. He said, every practice, that's what you got to do. And that's the way I've always done it. I've always been hard, but you got to get these kids ready to play. These kids want you to teach them what to do. And sometimes you got to be hard because everything's fast-paced. You don't have time to coddle, if you know what I mean, in the world of football. There's no time to coddle. So what I try to do, I may be hard on a kid all practice long, but by the time that practice is over, I find some reason. I'll find something that I can walk over and pat them on the butt and say, good job. That was exactly what I want. You're starting to get it. You leave them positive. And it's amazing what just that one little touch will do. And that's not what Coach Flores, Brian Flores, was not doing that. He was personally breaking down Tua.
Well, he was a Bill Belichick guy, right?
That's right.
And so
that's right.
I'm not going to take a side in a story like when there's that much personal stuff that in context needed. But I do think coaches have to evolve, just like everybody else. And no matter what you're doing, you either evolve or you die professionally.
Right.
And I would imagine, Paul, that you don't coach the kids out at East High the same way you coached people at 35 years ago.
Right.
Because we have to evolve, right? And circumstances matter so much, right? And what guys have gone through and what people have gone through. And I would imagine the goal as a coach, no matter how you get there, is always the same, to get the best out of that player. Always. No matter how you, no matter what the path is to be there, the end goal is always the same. How do you get the best out of that particular person? And, you know, there are limits to that. And sometimes I think you wash your hands of it and you say, it's just not going to work here. And that's fine, especially in the professional world. But Tua is a great example. Like he has flourished and been built up. But what I see and what's so interesting to me is I see so many people with this story like, oh, see, Flores is just a jerk. And look at McDaniel and like, oh, man, see, this is how you're supposed to do X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, guys, they've won the same amount of games. Right? Like the last 2 years of Flores and the first two of McDaniel are essentially the same thing. And you can make a case that McDaniel's had a much more talented team in the meantime. So let's not say, I mean, I don't ever agree with bullying. The only real fights I've ever been in, Paul, with people that I didn't know were when somebody's getting bullied. I'll tell you that. So I don't like that. But I do think there are different ways to coach. And all players need different things. So the end result is what tells you how successful it's been. Obviously, that was not the way to coach Tua. And I think that's what Flores is saying now. He's grown, right? Like I've grown. That was not the way to coach that particular player. Clearly, right? And I don't know why you would ever think it is, guy coming into the league. Why would you ever not want anything but confidence for your young quarterback?
Right.
And you don't want them stepping under that center, not confident. So, yeah, that was a mistake, clearly, from Flores. But let's not pretend every player is the same. There are plenty of people who are motivated by somebody in their face and on their tail all the time.
Right. I mean, this is different, though. This seems to be a little different in terms of Coach Flores telling Tua, well, you're not going to be as successful. You don't have what it takes to be that player. You're
right.
And from the sounds of it, it wasn't just necessarily on the field. But, you know, you walk into a meeting and, you know, you're not very good. You probably won't make it. I don't think you have what it takes. See, that's unbelievable.
I can't think of a young quarterback who would respond to that.
You
well.
Think not positive, I can tell you that. They'll respond, right. But it may not be in a positive way. And that's it. And I got to give Tua a lot of credit. If he fought through a guy like Flores, hats off to him, because he just signed, what was it, $225 million, something like that, $250 million, yeah. Whatever it was a ton of money. So he's now like one of the third or fourth highest paid quarterbacks in the league. So it's obvious that he could play football. But, you know, and the other thing that I know that I kind of take the side of Tua is because there's been some contrition from Coach Flores.
Absolutely.
Coach Flores has said,
players went up to the podium with him to defend him. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like you have to. I almost think it's within like a roster. Like you have to evolve. And this is to your point, what you were saying earlier. Every player has to be coached differently, right? Not everybody responds. I don't know that I would be able to do it, because I probably wouldn't be able to do the hard nose aspect. I wouldn't be able to try to motivate somebody that way. I'd feel bad. Like I'd feel like a big jerk. So I couldn't do it. Some people are more comfortable with that. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I probably wouldn't be able to get it done, though. That's it, like I wouldn't be able to do it. Now, you know, maybe you can play good cop, bad cop. Maybe you can have the coaches that get in there and do one thing or the other. But at the end of the day, everyone's working toward the same goal, right? I go back to like the way, you know, you heard, and my dad went through a boot camp, so I heard these stories. Like the way you were motivated in the military. Why do you think that is? Right? Why do you think that method was used and has been used, it seems like, throughout history, no matter what the society, to train soldiers, in a sense? Because you have to harden them, right? In order for them to be as successful as they can be. I'm sure there are circumstances where guys are just jerks, right? But I would imagine that even more often than that, you're trying to prepare somebody to be as successful as they can be. And you're going to get that wrong for a lot of people. I think the modern coach has to be able to look at different players in different ways. Yeah, some guys, you're just going to have to be hard on them in order for them to be their best. Some people operate better with a chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact there are plenty of great coaches who are only intentionally placing a chip on that shoulder to try to motivate that player. They're willing to be the fall guy. They're willing to be the bad guy. I think there's a lot of parenting crossover here too. Like, you're willing to be the bad guy at times to help the young person or the person being trained be the most successful.
Mm.
You got to challenge that way.
Right.
But you don't have to bully. And I don't know that I'm not close enough to it to know if Flores was bullying or if he was just trying to motivate Tua in a different way.
I'll tell you why when you're done. He was, but
okay.
I'll tell you.
I mean, that is a clear line I don't like. And sometimes coaches get in trouble with that. But at the end of the day, it's a results driven league.
Mm.
And so for everyone to say, oh, McDaniel just gets it so much better than Floyd. He's just so more. And I'm like, God, he ain't winning any more games.
Mm.
So yeah, I mean, like I'm glad that he's that way. And I think he's cool too. And I think he's unique and different. And I want to see it succeed because I'm interested in it.
Well,
and it's more of probably the way I would operate. Mm. But at the end of the day, if you ain't winning games, you ain't winning games. And they have won plenty of games, but they're not winning any more than they were under Flores.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. Here's what I know is that there's been some excerpts of this press conference, by the way, and I happen to see it on ESPN of all places. That's where I did see this. And it was obvious that Coach Flores was shaken by this. He was alarmed because it felt like, you know, he didn't have a command of his voice. It sounded like it could crack at any moment, you know, maybe even into some tears. I'm not going to say that he was going to cry. I'm just saying he was shaken with his voice. You could tell he's not, you know, being that coach that he is. And one of the quotes that he had, let me just make this quote, I think part of coaching is correcting. I think, Jacob, you and I would both agree with that. I think the biggest part of coaching is correcting, getting kids to do what they need to do to be successful. And he says, and Coach Flores continues, says, I'm always going to correct. I'm always going to have that high standard. And I think, look, I've done a lot of reflecting on the situation. And he goes on and says that this is just the way he's going to be, but he's learned a few things over the last 2 or 3 years. He's right. Coaching is correcting, and we're all always going to correct. But there are ways to do it. There are ways that, you know, you break down a kid, you build him back up. That's the difference in this situation. There was the breakdown of Tua. There was not the rebuilding of Tua. I think that's probably about as accurate as I can be, isn't it? And the buildup, the breaking down has to be followed by a build up, and that buildup has to come quickly. You just can't wait 2, 3, 4
weeks.
Yeah,
look, he screwed it up with Tua. There's no question. Tua is better than, but he knows certainly he better than
he knows thought. He and, did. He knows he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, and he said, it's fine.
That's right.
It's interesting that this story has blown up the way it has.
Yeah, I've never seen a story like this. Have you? I mean,
We just talked about Mike Gundy, right? Mike Gundy. Yeah,
he's had those moments.
Well, he's all over the place sometimes. And I think it's all intentional.
Right.
Remember, he's just trying to, you know,
Remember when Bobby Knight tried to strangle a kid at practice?
That's bullying. I wish that player would have punched him in the mouth.
That's
right.
Well, this was a little bit of bullying too, Jacob. This was a little bit of bullying.
I totally agree.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're hearing from Flores. And I think that's what you're hearing from McDaniel. That's what I'm so fascinated by. Whether there was intent or not, I think it was received that way, which is what's more important, by Tua, clearly. And so in an alpha league where you've got those types of personalities, it just kind of speaks, I think, to the difficulties of the job, right? How do you communicate with, you know, there is not probably a collection anywhere professionally of more people that kind of need that, you know, hard nosed thing than the people inside an NFL locker room. Are you kidding me? Like it is a physical, violent sport where you're trying to get prepared and motivated in a certain way, but not everybody's the same. It's an interesting story. If you want to chime in on it, call us on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240.
Yeah.
Let's stick in the NFL when we come back. I want to get to the to the Cowboys and what in the world Jerry Jones is doing. Want to get Paul's – just a couple of takeaways from Paul. What's he looking for in this third preseason game for the Chiefs? We'll get you more specifics on the Royals game tonight as well. We'll get it all here in the second hour. 869-1240 is that number to call. We appreciate you being a part of the program. All this football talk, by the way, brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Sports Daily is coming right back.
Seven and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. We're talking a little football. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage on this Wednesday. Tommy will be back tomorrow. Paul, let's talk about the Cowboys, and then we'll get into the Chiefs preseason. What do you make? What is your take on Dak, CD, and what the Cowboys are doing? I'll give you mine.
Please, please do.
It is ridiculous that this is still happening. If Jerry Jones at the beginning of this offseason said, we're blowing it up. Dak, you can either play this year for us or you can hold out. I don't care. CD, you can either play the deal you've got or we'll trade you. What do you want to do? Because and then do it. And then do it, right? Trade Dak Prescott. Trade CD Lamb. I would tell you this as a Cowboy fan. There is probably half the fan base that would tell you that's the right thing to do. But what's happening is the Cowboys continue along this road of purgatory, right? The other option would have been not letting contract situations with your two best players dragging into now what looks like it'll be pretty close to the start of the regular season. Like, why, if the Cowboys are committed to this roster and trying to win a Super Bowl, your best two players should not simultaneously be in contract disputes. Now, you can argue with the players that they should be in them, and they have a role to play in that too. But if you're Jerry Jones, you can't let that happen if you think you're going to compete for a Super Bowl. If you think you're going to compete for a Super Bowl, this stuff is done a long time ago, and it's done behind the scenes. Rather than now, what are you going to do here? Are you going to cave to these two players? You didn't do anything else in the offseason to help yourself win a title this year. Nothing. What did they add on offense, Paul? Ezekiel Elliott? I mean, come on now.
Well, you come know, obviously what the problem is, Jerry Jones is living in a world where just because you still have time on your contract, in the world of the NFL, what does that mean? That means it's time to renegotiate your contract if you're a really good player. But I'm talking Jimmy. Did I say Jimmy Jones? I don't mean Jimmy Jones. Obviously, I'm talking about. Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones. What he's thinking is these players still got time on their contract. They're supposed to be subservient to me. They're supposed to be my players. They're supposed to play on their contract. He's living in a world that doesn't exist anymore. Now, granted, legally speaking, he's right. He's got a point. But that world is not here. Now, the main thing that you need to know is that Jerry Jones thinks, well, I'm still going to negotiate. I'm going to negotiate with CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to negotiate with Prescott. I'm going to negotiate with anybody. And we're going to keep negotiating and try to get this thing taken care of. And so with that being said, there's sort of the operation of a Jerry Jones who is thinking to himself, you know something? I have got to get this taken care of. But on the other hand, I have a contract, and I'm old-fashioned about this, but I think my players should operate under the terms of the contract they've signed. They've been paid. They still got time on their contract. We need to get this taken care of. That's not the way it works anymore. It's just kind of not the way it works. I mean, you know, it's – you've got to do these things to keep
you can't, but your job is to not let this happen one way or the other, right? That's your job. And
but,
Jerry Jones,
but he's
and
old
and look,
school. He's old school. That's not the way he, you think that's the way I that he affected
Jerry
the
Jones
value
has done
of this franchise?
So,
no.
So many things well as an owner, so many things. This is maybe the worst thing that he does is manage contracts. He gives players that don't need big extensions. And then he lets things like this happen with his star players. right? You just can't let this happen. That if you think that you're going to compete at any point in the next 2 or 3 years, CeeDee Lamb should have had his contract a long time ago. The market has told you that in order to keep those level of players at that position, you need to put them at this stratosphere. CeeDee Lamb is in that stratosphere. You either make the decision or you trade the player. And if you're not going to keep CeeDee Lamb, then you should trade Dak Prescott.
And that's coming to an NFL franchise. By the way, we didn't talk about it on this show, and I'm sure you saw it. Probably 30 days ago, maybe a month and a half ago, there was an article that I read online that at this point, the Dallas Cowboys have been designated as the very first $10 billion valued professional sports franchise. First one, right. Basketball, baseball, you name it, hockey, whatever it is. The Dallas Cowboys are a billion. That's a 10 with a B, billion dollar franchise. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And with that comes a certain extent for these players to think to themselves, man, $10 billion. Well, I should be able to get this. I should be able to get that. And I'm sure that plays into this whole thing.
No, I don't. I mean, there's a salary cap. I think players understand that.
And by the way,
that salary cap went
up a bunch.
I would tell you on a personal level, I think it's ridiculous that Dak is asking for a new deal. We've already been through this with Dak. Dak needs to just play, and Dak will play. And I think they should just let him play out his contract. He's not going to hold out. He's not going to sit out. CeeDee Lamb might, though. CeeDee Lamb has not had his big contract. CeeDee Lamb, you've got to make the call as an organization. We're either committed to winning, and the problem is it's such mixed signaling. You brought back McCarthy. You basically brought everything back. Well, that's telling us that you think you can do it with this team. Well, you're not going to do it without your best player in CeeDee Lamb. So this shouldn't be you can't let all of the other things happen and run it back with McCarthy and then not run it back with your best player. You got to make that decision as an organization right after last season. Do we think this is good enough? Yeah, this is good enough. Okay, let's move forward. The Dak one is a little bit different.
It is.
Dak has had his big payday. I don't have a problem not paying Dak. Dak's going to play football this year. If it's not passed this year, that Dak Prescott can make that decision.
Right.
I don't really care.
Right.
Right. He can go be a free agent if he wants to.
Right.
But if you're going to try to win a Super Bowl this year, you need to sign your best players.
Right.
If you're not, which again, there is about half the Cowboys fan base that don't think that's the right thing to do.
Right.
But if you're not, then you trade CeeDee Lamb. You make a change at head coach. Mm-hmm. You rebuild and you try to do these things.
Right.
Because they just didn't add anything. Like they've got one foot on each side of that line. And it's infuriating for Cowboy fans because it's like, which one is it?
Yeah.
Either blow it up or go all in. He said, go all in. Those words came out of his mouth. What has go all in looked like?
Mm-hmm.
Signing Zeke Elliott
and
being in a contract dispute well, with your two or three best players, well, that's going all in?
Well, that sounds like it. But the toughest thing on this whole deal for me to look at from an outsider is I look at the position that CeeDee Lamb plays. He's receiver. He's a go-to receiver. He can catch the fade. He can cross the cat. He can the crosser. He can catch.
And he's one of the three or four best receivers in football.
There you go.
Right now.
So he can do everything, and he's that one guy. And when you look at this last draft, what were the two positions that seemed to just be dominating? About what the first two-thirds of the first round, receivers and quarterbacks. Boy, a lot of receivers went. You know, and boy, a lot of those receivers in that first round, boy, will they have big impacts. They're having big impacts at camp. They're having big impacts in when they do get in on their preseasons. They're going to be great ones. And we could name about a half a dozen right off the top of our head this very moment. But wide receivers are a premium. CeeDee Lamb is a receiver, Jerry. He's a receiver. You might want to go get him. He's a playmaker. He is a guy you go to when you need 10 yards. I don't get that.
If they made the decision as an organization not to do it, great, fine, don't care, then trade him.
Well, they're still talking. They're talking.
But what you can't do, and they'll get him signed. It's just so stupid that we're even dealing with this. Like, it's just, whatever. It is so funny to me that this is even a thing. And that's like, as a Cowboy, and I know the Cowboys aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. They don't, they won't. They did nothing to get better. They will not win the Super Bowl this year. And so it's just like, whatever, I'll watch them, and you know, they'll be entertaining again this year, and they won't be good enough to get it done. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs probably have a pretty good chance. Wouldn't you say, Paul?
I would, by the way,
roster decisions coming as you go into this final game, and we know the starters don't typically play in this game and it's tomorrow night. What do you think? What are you looking at as impactful things that coaches are evaluating in this game specific to the Chiefs? Where are they looking, do you think, in this one?
Right. And by the way, it's already been stated. There was a press conference yesterday. In that press conference, Andy Reid said, as of right now, it looks like no starters are going to play. So with that being said,
well, they're not going to play.
They're not going to play. He says, of course, he's evaluating that, but we both know he's not.
They're not going to play.
They're not going to play. And that's what that means. And Caleb Williams isn't going to play either. So this is going to be not a very entertaining game. It's already been decided for the Chicago Bears. Caleb's not playing. I understand that, and I can certainly appreciate that. And I don't blame Chicago for holding him out of this last game. You don't want anything to happen. You know, get him some reps in practice. Get him game quality repetitions in practice. But this isn't going to be much of a fun game. This isn't going to be a lot. But what can still be discerned, there are still a lot of guys on this roster looking to make a spot. And a lot of guys are going to be playing. There's going to be a chance to learn for some of those, find out who can play, who can't play. Although coaches, by this point, have a pretty good idea who those guys are. So right now, how meaningful is this particular game? Not very. Not very meaningful. What are we going to discern from this game?
I think it is.
I think it is. Well, what are you going to discern from it?
So here's what's funny about it. This game probably will have more meaning than the other two, right? As far as decisions that are made and what will impact the team and the roster and all of these things. This one will have, because you're going to have very, well, I don't want to overstate it, but you're going to have important roster decisions that are made based probably a lot on how players play in this game. You go through the first two, and you're kind of preparing. A large part of those games is getting ready for what you already know, mm-hmm. right? Preparing for what you already know. Whereas this one,
okay,
I mean,
I know what you're saying.
Actually be things decided. We have talked at length this week about the wide receiver room. Do they keep Kadarius Toney? Do they cut Kadarius mm-hmm. Toney? Do they keep six receivers? Do they keep seven receivers?
Fine.
That is a pretty important and potentially impactful decision that will be made probably largely based on what happens or does not happen in this game.
All right, let me rephrase the way I put it when I said not much is going to happen. There may be stuff that happens, say, from spot number 30 to 54 on this roster. That's where this is going to happen. But I'm telling you, probably the first 30 roster spots, they already know who they are. They know who this coaching staff already knows who, say, the top 20 to 30, well, at least the top 30 sure. are. Now, so the impact on this team, because let's face it, somebody goes down, one of those from number 30 to 54, they have to step in and play. Receivers, you're talking about receivers. Very good point. Who's that going to be? For the last two or three receivers, let's say the last two receivers to make this squad, to find that roster spot, this is a big game. Don't think it's not a big game. This is a Super Bowl with regard to their NFL career. They've got to play well. So for those guys, you're right. But for the overall, from 1 to 30, it's not going to make any difference.
No, they're not even going to be out there.
They're not even going to play.
And but so, special teams is probably more important this year than it has been because of the change to the return game. You've got to evaluate that kind of stuff. It will be a different sort of way to watch the game, but it doesn't mean it won't be, and listen to the game over on KNSS. But it won't be without meaning, and it is kind of fun. Like, it might have more meaning to the roster than the other two have, because the players that were playing there, you already knew were going to make the roster. Now, mm-hmm. all of those guys competing right. for the last spots
yeah.
are going to get a chance to get out there and potentially earn it. That is appeal.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Cling to me.
Well, that is earth-shaking for those kids that are going to be on that field.
Yeah, because you know they're going to go hard. And you
they're
going to
go hard. It's going to be good, tough, hard.
I do like whenever we see it feels like those starters and the coaches really enjoy this game because they know these guys are getting that opportunity. I think that energy is a little bit contagious in the reality of the situation for so many of them. You know, your teammates you've been battling through training camp with, you're rooting everybody on. You want everybody to be as successful as they can. But yeah, it should be a fun one. Those roster spots, they're it's coming down to the wire for a lot of them.
Right.
Good luck on our giveaway, everybody. Again, that's the short code TTEA to 20357 via text to win some HTO free iced tea and coffee. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for the Royals tonight. We'll look at all the bets and those different kinds of things and scour around the rest of the sports headlines from the morning. It's on a Wednesday edition. Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to all of those who celebrate. Which hopefully will be, everybody soon. We'll have more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Royals baseball tonight right here on KFH, as it is each and every day. It's also on the Odyssey app. Tune in to KFH tonight at 7. Royals, Angels, simply download the Odyssey app, search for KFH. Paul, did you see who's starting tonight for the Angels? Name that the Royals fans have a soft spot for?
No, lay it on me.
Johnny Cueto is making his first start of the year. 38-year-old Johnny Cueto. He's actually been pretty good through a handful of starts down in Triple A, so he's going to come up and start for them, which is a little nostalgic, a little kinda fun. Cool. Of course, Royals fans hope they kick his tail today.
Right.
But Johnny Cueto's he's got his fond spot in Royals fans' memories for sure, but he's coming up to start for the Angels. Royals are favored, as you might imagine. Michael Lorenzen on the mound for them. The money line, they're minus 175. Their run line is plus money tonight at plus 115. Bobby Witt Jr. and his total bases over 2.5 would have cashed last night. You can go back down that road. Your Lorenzen total outs recorded line, which is where I've liked to live, is at 15.5. So he needs to get through 5 2/3 for that to cash.
Okay.
And that's at even money. I think that's an option. Cole Reagans last night wouldn't have got there. He did not hit that mark last night, which was even higher. So those are a couple of the bets. It's a game. Look, you never know. It's interesting with Cueto. Like anytime I always pause at these. Anytime you get a pitcher that you don't have, and there's lots of course, tape on Johnny Cueto through the years, but he hadn't even started much in AAA. So there probably isn't a lot they can look at based on what he's still capable of. They're going to come in a little bit blind in that regard, which is always moderately dangerous, I think, for the offense. But of course, the flip side is also true. Johnny Cueto was still pitching in AAA for a reason. So we'll see if he's able to do any damage to the Royals tonight. But that is the pitching matchup that nobody saw coming.
Yeah. Quick, can I ask a question with regards to betting, if you don't mind? Have you looked at any bets with Caitlin Clark? Have you looked at anything? I mean, Okay,
I would be ignorant to bet that because I don't know enough about. I don't watch enough to make a strong play on the WNBA.
You know, I'm not watching the WNBA, but I'm following it. And let me put it this way: every time there's a highlight, you know, if I'm watching some sports show that I enjoy watching and I'm catching up on stuff, anytime there's a Caitlin Clark highlight, I watch the whole thing. Because she is really something special. She is really starting to figure out the WNBA. She is figuring it out. And, well, I'll tell you what. You know who she reminds me as a passer? And now, please don't jump on me too hard. She reminds me a little bit of Pete Maravich. Is that an outlandish statement? Maybe that's crazy. But she seems to have a vision that Pete Maravich had, and he was one of the greats. I think we could throw Bob Cousy back in the day into that group. I mean, and I never really saw him play, but I'm going by what people say about Bob Cousy. But, boy, she's got such great vision. She sure finds that open player with behind-the-back player. And she is a master of the bounce pass. And, you know, the bounce pass is almost like one of those elements of basketball that's almost been forgotten, isn't it? I mean, but, boy, it is effective. I find myself watching the highlights, my friend.
Oh, sure.
I'm enjoying it. I like it.
I'm still following her, too, more so than the rest of the – nothing has changed as far as that goes for me, but I'm not watching the games, so I'm definitely not comfortable betting them. Two sports I enjoy betting the most are the NFL – let's call it college football. I don't usually bet on non-Big 12 games. So, I mean, I do at times but I don't like to bet on things I haven't really watched to get a strong feel.
So you have a feel and for Big 12 football. I got you.
Sure. Yeah. Because I'm watching it each and every week.
Yeah, that's right.
NFL, I watch all of it. You know, I'm a junkie. I watch it 12 hours every Sunday. Like I watch all of it. There is very little of the NFL I do not see once the season starts. So that's my favorite to bet, even though it's the hardest. And then baseball, like for me, it's been a lot of Royals betting. Earlier in the season, it was Rangers before they kind of fell out of it because that's what I'm watching. So that's kind of where I stick to it. And college basketball is the other thing I really like to bet. But in college basketball, it's pretty much the teams we watch, right? Trying to gain any insight because we're watching them. And maybe, you know, it helps us, we feel like it anyway, get an advantage on things. So no, I don't typically, unless I'm just messing around having fun, like with some Olympics bets or something, I don't typically bet stuff I'm not actively watching. I love following Caitlin Clark and the headlines this year of the WNBA, mm-hmm. but I can't look at a game on a betting app and have any strong take on an over under assist number. I have no idea because I don't know what the other team does. No way.
You know, the interesting thing about this whole phenomenon is that it appears to me, now I could be just reading something into this, but watching the highlights whenever I can of Caitlin Clark, which I've really enjoyed doing, is that she's not getting banged around. She's not getting the cheap shots. She is starting to earn her respect. I think this league is beginning to say, dang, this girl's pretty good. She can pull passes out of her, you know what, with the best of them, and she can shoot the three. Shoot, I was watching a highlight just in the last week or so. She drains a three from touching the logo in the center of the floor. And so, you know, I think this league, it's just me. Maybe I'm not, and I'm watching highlights. I'm not watching anything else, really. But it looks like to me, you know, the banging on her, the disrespect that she's been getting or she got earlier in the year, she's not getting it. The All-Star break came and went, and now we're into the second half of the season. Her team is now starting to make a run, and by golly, sure enough, she's starting to get respect, and I do not see where she is getting disrespected exactly like she did earlier. So with that being said, I think it's kind of cool. I've really enjoyed – you know, my buddy Joe Rocco. You know Joe Rocco. He's a friend of this show. He watches the whole game with Caitlin Clark. He's such a big fan. He watches the entire game.
Yeah, she got bumped by somebody the other night. It's still there a little bit. I do think
not
it's
like
a little bit less.
Not like it was, yeah.
Whatever. Like maybe it'll just stop in year two. I don't know if it's like a rookie thing.
Whatever.
I've never understood why there was a desire to, you know, try to push her around anyway. Like there's a difference in, you know, rookies learning the ropes and going out of your way to take cheap shots. Like that, there's a little bit of a difference there. My hope is, when I say whatever, it's like maybe in year two, they just feel like they don't need to do that for whatever reason. They feel like they need to do it in year one, and hopefully it's not a thing anymore. And hopefully everybody understands why she's so important to the movement that's happening. And I just, right as we're talking about this, by the way, Angel Reese plays a role too, certainly, and is, you know, number two in line of the thing that's making this sport grow so much so fast. I just, these two players, what a gift they have been to the sport. Just looks like she signed a big Reese's deal. So that's good. And you know, companies are paying attention, man. That's what's good for the league. That is the stuff that makes monumental movements for the league. It has to be the most followed year for the WNBA in its history. We didn't know if it would translate from the college game.
It has, which
makes me think it will continue and translate into year two, which is great for the sport because it is a great sport. And I hope it continues to grow. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today as we wrap up Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere. All Brockton Savage.
Mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style, you get quality, you get beeps and boops and dings and whomps, and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.